of, you know, religious principles and everything from the shelter of the people of Kali Yuga. So they were very, very eager to hear about Srimad Bhagavatam, how it originated, who wrote it, why did Vyasadeva write it, why did Parikshit Maharaj give up everything, give up his body, sit down for 7 days and do this. So they just not wanted to know only about Srimad Bhagavatam, but they also wanted to know about everything that was connected to Srimad Bhagavatam. So today we will read answer to their questions, and Sri Goswami starts answering to their questions. So the entire Srimad Bhagavatam is based on devotees, set of devotees asking questions and a set of devotees answering the questions. Now the quality of the discussion depends upon both, as we have discussed already many times. It depends upon the quality of the person hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and also the quality of the receiver of Srimad Bhagavatam. So from them, as I mentioned in the email, we want to learn, we want to capture this particular eagerness about this hearing, this quality of eagerness that they have about hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. We've read this verse so many times. They just heard this particular verse for the first time. We've heard this verse and then they had so much eagerness. We've read this particular verse, Krishna Swadhama Pagate Dharma Jnana Ribisaha Kala Nashtya Drisham Esha Puranarko Dhunoditaha. That this Bhagavad Puran is as brilliant as the sun, and it has arisen just after the departure of Lord Sri Krishna to his own abode, accompanied by religion, knowledge, etc. Persons who have lost their vision due to the dense darkness of ignorance in the age of Kali shall get light from this Purana. So we've heard this many, many times. But we see that there is a difference in the quality of the eagerness that we have versus the eagerness that the devotees of the sages of Naimisharanya had. So now once we see this gap, we need to address this gap. And to address this gap, we must sincerely pray to those sages of Naimisharanya to help us develop the same eagerness that they have, so that this human form of life is dedicated in the service of the Lord by hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam, Nityam Bhagavat Sevaya. When we hear Srimad Bhagavatam, is the purest form of knowledge. It cleanses the heart of all the dust accumulated for years together, and it brings us closer to the devotional service of Lord Sri Krishna. What do we know about Krishna and what do we know about devotional service to Lord Sri Krishna? We think we are doing something. You know? We think we are doing something. Just trying to do our best. But because we are so much in the throes of modes of passion and ignorance, we don't know what we are doing and where we are headed. Even our services are in the modes of passion and ignorance. At least mine are. So we must sincerely pray to all the Vaishnavas for their mercy, the entire Guru Parampara for their mercy, and to all the sages of Naimisharanya, to Sutta Goswami, Sukadeva Goswami, all of them, that please give me the same quality of hearing, because I really want to grab the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna and the lotus feet of all of his devotees and serve them incessantly throughout the end of my life, because we don't know when death will come. And we don't know when death will knock at our door. So we will be reading Srimad Bhagavatam in that mood. And please open to the fourth chapter, 14th verse. And I'm opening it as I read with all of you. So for some verses we won't chant the shloka because I'd like to go a little faster on these. So we have all these questions that they have asked, and now Sutta Goswami is asking, Sutta Goswami starts speaking now from the 14th verse. And he says, Sutta Uvacha, Dvaparesa, sorry, I didn't mean to read the verse. He says, Sutta Goswami said, when the second millennium overlapped the third, the great sage Vyasadeva was born to Parashara in the womb of Satyavati, the daughter of Vasul. So, there's a story about who the mother of the great sage was, Satyavati, the daughter of the Vasul, the fisherman, and the father of the great Parashurmani. There's a very long story about that, which I'm sure some of you might know, but I won't get into it right now. And that is the history of Vyasadeva's birth. So his lineage, he was son of Parashurmani. And also, the millennium overlap with birth is sometimes that is overlapping. Usually they come in the order of Satya, Yuga, Dwapar Yuga, Treta Yuga and Kali Yuga, and sometimes at least in the bludging of Devaswapanamu, there was an overlapping of the 20th round. And so the third millennium, Treta Yuga, occurred before the Dwapar Yuga. So that is the explanation there. Second, 15th verse. Once upon a time, he, Vyasadeva, as the sun rose, took his morning ablution in the waters of the Saraswati and sat alone to concentrate. The river Saraswati is flowing in the Badrikashram area of the Himalayas. The place indicated here is Samyaprasha in Badrikashrama, where Sri Vyasadeva is residing. Now this river is no longer visible. It has disappeared, and it is said that it is flowing underground. So we don't have this holy river anymore. And if the Ganges and the Yamuna are also being polluted at this particular rate, very soon we will lose them also. There are certain patches of the Yamuna that don't exist anymore. In the middle, right in the middle of the Yamuna, the river stops somewhere and then it begins again in another place. There is no river in the middle. And it's all because of this Kali Yuga, the activities of the mode of passion and ignorance of the people of Kali Yuga. Text 16. परावारग्यसरिषे कालेनाव्यक्तरम्भसा युगधर्माव्यतिकरं प्राप्तं भूवि युगे युगे. The great sage Vyasadeva saw anomalies in the duties of the millennium. This happens on the earth in different ages due to unseen forces in the course of time. So we'll read the purport. The great sages like Vyasadeva are liberated souls, Srikalagya, and therefore they can see clearly past and future. Thus, he could see a future anomalies in the Kali Yuga age, Kali age. And accordingly, he made arrangements for the people in general so that they can execute a progressive life in this age, which is full of darkness. The people in general in this age of Kali are too much interested in matter, which is temporary. Because of ignorance, they are unable to evaluate the assets of life and be enlightened in spiritual knowledge. So here, when the sages are meditating, they usually see, you know, they're constantly thinking about how to serve the Lord's purpose. So even in their meditation, they're going to see things related to that. So whatever you desire in life and whatever your blueprint of life is, everything in your life will be directed into in that particular area. So the stages, Vyasadeva's blueprint was service to the Lord, continuous service to the Lord. So what is service to the Lord? Bring people closer to him. And that is his blueprint. Everything he sees and everything he does is tied according to that, as we will see in the text 17. And this verse is beautiful. Bhautikanam cha bhavanam sakti rasam cha tatkritam ashraddhanam nisatvan durmedhan hashitayushah. So durmedhan, that is sheep. Rashitayushah, less age. Durbhavam stradhanam vikshyam uni divyena chakshusha sarvavarna shramanangyad dadhyavitanma mogadrik. So translation. The great sage, who was fully equipped in knowledge, could see through his transcendental vision the deterioration of everything material due to the influence of the age. He could also see that the fruitless people in general would be reduced in duration of life and would be impatient due to lack of goodness. Thus he contemplated for the welfare of men in all statuses and orders of life. Because everyone is filled with passion and ignorance and all this is happening. So when he is meditating, he can see everything. He can see the future. He can see the future. He can see past, present and future. Trikalagya. He has the vision of the three kalas, past, present and future. And he can see that faithless person, the duration of life will be reduced. We read something similar in the second chapter, Manna Sunanda Matayo, Manna Bhagya, Yopadhuta. And people will become impatient due to lack of goodness. So when we sense impatience around us, impatience in ourselves, then we must understand that it's required of us to cultivate the quality of goodness. So we read this particular purport. Who all are there on the call? I have on Skype Madhavi, Thatti Mataji and Shweta Kolhatkar. And on the phone I have Amutha Mataji. Is there anyone else on the call?
Hare Bol, Sangeeta here.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Mataji. Yes, Hare Bol, Ikta Mataji. Namaste. Krishna Srila Prabhupada.
Rupali Hare Krishna and Navya.
Oh, Navya and Rupali. Hare Krishna. Thank you all for joining the call. Thank you for your association. I need it every day. Request, Shweta, will it be possible for you to read the purport? Do you have the book in front of you?
Probably I don't have the book in front of me.
Okay, Sangeeta, would you like to read the purport of this particular...
Sure. Is everybody able to hear me clearly though? I'm just wondering because it's a new phone and sometimes it's the kind of fake. Is everybody able to hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Just one minute. So those of you who don't have the book, in my email every time I send out a link to the, you know, the chapter that we're reading. So if you go into my email and you go at the bottom, it will show veerabhis.com/Srimad-Bhagavatam chapter 4. When you click on that, you can go down to text 17 and 18. When you click on that, you will see the purport. If those of you who don't have it want to follow us, do that.
Yes, go ahead, Sangeeta. Yeah, thank you. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The unmanifested forces of time are so powerful that they reduce all matter to oblivion in due course. In Kali Yuga, the last millennium of around of 4 millenniums, the power of all material objects deteriorates by the influence of time. In this age, the duration of the material body of the people in general is much reduced, and so is the memory. The action of matter has also not so much incentive. The land does not produce food in the same proportions as it did in other ages. The cow does not give as much milk as it used to give formerly. The production of vegetables is less than before. As such, all living beings, both men and animals, do not have sumptuous, nourishing food. Due to want of so many necessities of life, naturally the duration of life is reduced. The memory is short, intelligence is meager, mutual dealings are full of hypocrisy, and so on. The great sage Vyasadeva could see this by his transcendental vision. As an astrologer can see the future fate of a man, or an astronomer can foretell the solar and lunar eclipses, those liberated souls who can see through the scriptures can foretell the future of all mankind. They can see this due to their sharp vision of spiritual attainment. And all the transcendentalists who are naturally devotees of the Lord are always eager to render welfare service to the people in general. They are the real friends of the people in general, not the so-called public leaders, who are unable to see what is going to happen 5 minutes ahead. In this age, the people in general, as well as the so-called leaders, are all unlucky fellows, faithless in spiritual knowledge and influenced by the age of Kali. They are always disturbed by various diseases. For example, in the present age, there are so many TB patients and TB hospitals. But formerly, this is not so, because the time was not so unfavorable. The unfortunate men of this age are always reluctant to give a reception to the transcendentalists, who are representatives of Srila Vyasadeva, and selfless workers always begin planning something which may help everyone in all stages and orders of life. The greatest philanthropists are those transcendentalists who represent the measure of Vyasa, Narada, Madhava, Yatanya, Rupa, Saraswati, etc. They are all one and the same. The personalities may be different, but the aim of the measure is one and the same, namely to deliver the fallen souls back home, back to Godhead.
Thank you, Sangeeta. So this is a wonderful purport. It's telling that, you know, the first line itself is mind-blowing for me. It says the unmanifested forces of time are so powerful, they reduce all matter to oblivion in due course. And we're all after matter, which is going to go into oblivion anyway. So why do we run after the temporary? Why are we so absorbed in the temporary? It's because of this, our affinity to the modes of passion and ignorance. We do something because we want it, or we don't want it, or we do something because we get something out of it. We don't do pecking, so we're going in that direction. So even if we're going in the direction of material advancement, The material advancement is not helping us get anywhere. The food is diseased. Wheat is not wheat anymore. The fruits and the grains and the vegetables don't have the nutritious content anymore. In spite of all the material advancement, we don't have proper food to eat. That's a basic necessity. We have the cell phones. We have the buildings. We have the Wi-Fi. We have all the gadgets. We have all the technology. But the food is not true. You apply too much technology, too much more of passion and ignorance in the food. And it doesn't give us the nutrition anymore. And because of that, manda samanda matayu manda bhagya hi upadutaha, we're suffering the Kaliyuga age. So now, when the great sages, as I discussed earlier, the blueprint of their life is to serve the will of the Lord and to serve the mission of the Lord, which is to help the devotees, help the people in general get back to Him. So even when they're meditating, like if I'm meditating, I'm thinking about what is the latest bag I need to buy, or what is the, you know, how can I look more beautiful? Oh, I need to shape my eyebrows, I need to do this, I need to do that, or I need to buy this for my house, I need to do this, oh, my kids, oh, you know, so many things we think about, right? And it's all tied to ourselves or our extended self. It's tied to ourselves, our feelings, emotions, and material needs, or it's tied to our children and their needs. Well, children and their needs and our duties, if you're thinking about that, that is higher. But mostly it is still, even if you're thinking about all those things, it's still in a material way. It's not with a spiritual conception. But sages, they're so compassionate. Devotees in the world are so compassionate. They're always thinking about how to help the people in general. Right? And they're blessed with that spiritual vision by the Lord because of all the tapasya they have done and the purity of their heart. So this advancement is not going to get us anywhere. There is a lot of incentive to do action in the area of matter, but there is no proper food to eat. That's why nowadays just eating wheat causes so much diseases, because wheat is not wheat anymore. And that's why people experience bloating and allergies and so many other things. But it's just so hard to get proper milk, so hard to get proper fruits, so hard to get proper grains. And then we think we are advancing in Kali Yuga. We may be having, our families may have $500,000 salary, or $100,000 salary, or $200,000 salary. Right? But what can your salary do? You don't have proper food to eat. Yeah, you can look pretty. You can have the best one, most beautiful house. You can do all those things. But you don't have anything to maintain your body properly. Right? What is the use of a pretty body which is not healthy and cannot be used in the service of the Lord? So, here Vyasadeva is feeling the compassion for the people. That they have become impatient. They are becoming quarrelsome. The relationships are all mundane. And they are all engaged in matter and nobody is happy. They're losing their health, they're losing their age, and that's what he's thinking about. He's not thinking about himself. No, what about my matted locks? And what about this ant that is climbing on me while I'm meditating? Or what about my wife? What about my kids? What about this? What about that? He's able to put himself, his needs aside, and he's able to think about the greater good. I had a very difficult but amazing experience on Friday. I was in downtown Seattle, and I was driving, trying to climb up James Street, and it's a very, very slopey hill. Maybe I didn't know how to drive properly, when I should die. But maybe I was doing something wrong. When there was a traffic light, and my car was climbing the hill fine. Then there was a traffic light, so I stopped. I just got an intuition that, you know, something's going to be wrong now to get me this car moving again once the traffic lights are green. So I chanted Hare Krishna, and then I put my foot on the accelerator. My car started skidding, going backwards. And I was about to hit the guy at the back, and it was morning rush hour traffic. And then immediately, somehow my car picked up. Skidded, went back, went in the front, went back. Finally, it made it, and it got its motion right. Lo and behold, I reached the next block, which was just like, I was on 8th Avenue, went on 9th Avenue, and then I hit the same problem over there again. There was a traffic light and the car stopped, and then I was 100% sure this time this car is going to give me a problem, so I was mentally prepared of what I'm going to do. This car doesn't start again. I mean, it was in start, but like, it was in the stop position because of the light. So I was prepared that, okay, I'll pull the handbrake, I'll still press the hazard lights, I'll get out of the car and ask people to go on the side.
So my car didn't start, and this time it skidded in the back almost like 5 feet, which was very scary for me. And then the car skidded, and then before, like, you know, then I could pull, like, by the time I pulled the handbrake and pressed the hazard lights, I was already 5 feet behind, and everyone was, you know, like, honking, and it was very scary for me. I didn't know what to do. Then I got out of the car, and I asked other people to go, you know, move, like, you know, go from the next lane. You know, a lot of people didn't get the hazard lights on thing. And then I didn't know what to do, but then somehow I got an intuition. I was praying to Krishna and Narasimhadev, and then I got an intuition that if I back the car on that slope another 20 feet, I can move into a parking lot. That was my only hope, because I was blocking traffic, and I said, if somebody calls 911 on me, it's going to become a bigger problem now. So, by Krishna's mercy, every time there was, like, no car for the next 10 feet, I kept moving at the back, Finally, I was able to make it inside the parking lot between 8th and 9th Avenue. And I thought I was safe. I had an appointment to go to at 9 o'clock, at 12 o'clock, or I forget the time now. I didn't find any parking spot in that parking lot. Then I was getting late for my appointment. There was no parking. It was all residential parking or office parking, and we needed a pass to park over there. So then I saw somebody coming towards my car. I was, like, parked at a spot in the parking lot, and I saw somebody coming to my car, and I thought, oh, this man is going to ask me to move out of here. So maybe I'll ask him what a better parking spot is. I rolled down my window, and he said, oh, do you need any help? I said, I do need help. You know, I was just stuck in a very bad situation, and I don't think there's anything wrong with my car, because my car is moving, but maybe the slope is a problem, or I'm not navigating the slope properly. And he said, I've been watching you from the 9th floor. I saw smoke coming out of my car. Yeah, there was a lot of smoke coming out of my car, too. And he said, I saw you when you were pulling out the first time you were able to make it, but the second time there was a lot of smoke coming out of your car. And then I saw you back, and I saw you come inside this parking lot, so I thought you might need some help. So I was thinking, this man is godsend. I just asked him, you know, what motivated you to, you know, it's very rare that somebody would come and help me like this. So I'm very, very amazed that you were on the 9th floor, you decided to take that time off from your work, come down and help me. So, you know, what is your inspiration? You know, what makes you be like that? I wish I could be like you. And you know what he said? He said, every day in the morning, I pray to God to give me a chance to help somebody. And whenever I get a chance to help somebody, I feel God has given me this chance, and I immediately come and help the person. So the thought has still not got out of my head. It's right. I never want this line of his to get out of my head. Every morning we pray to Lord Shri Krishna when we chant, O Radha, O Krishna, O Holy Name, please engage me in your service. When service comes, I don't find myself surrendering to service that is coming from Lord Shri Krishna the same way as this person. Now, when we're reading this particular set of verses about Vyasadeva and what his meditation is, so it's again what your blueprint is. If your blueprint is internal blueprint, your internal wiring, your internal software code is to help people, is to serve the devotees, to serve the path and path of the Lord, then you will find opportunities in how to serve. You will find very creative ways in which you can help devotees. But if that is not our blueprint, we may be praying every single day, oh Lord, please engage me in your service when we chant Hare Krishna. But when the opportunity comes, we will not engage in service. That is because our blueprint or our thermostat is not set that way. It's set another way. It's set to serve ourselves. What about me? That's the thought that will come. If I'm helping somebody, what about me? What about my agenda? What about my life? What about, you know, do I have any tasks to do before I say yes to this person? Will I miss out something if I help this person? Will I miss out something at a personal level if I help this person? So devotional service is actually very, very simple if we miss it half of the time, because our blueprint is not set properly. So we must, when we read all of these things, we must take inspiration from these people in how we can develop the same mode. And we can develop this mode by serving people and associating with those people.